Father God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the word that we're learning, Lord. Thank you for the challenge that you've been giving to us. Thank you, Lord God, that there's something you're developing in us, a greater trust and reliance upon you. As the report that came out for the United States from NOAA about the storms, hurricanes, floods, rain, fire, now mudslides. It's been the worst 12 months of disasters in U.S. recorded history. Lord, we need to be a people that's ready. We need to live ready. We know that the Word of God says that the earth will have experienced birth pains, Lord God. Just as a woman travails in birth, that it begins, Lord God, that the contractions are not as short in the beginning, but as time progresses, they become shorter and stronger. So you even give us this picture, Lord, about the earth that groans in the last days. And so, Father, we want to make sure that we are a people that are prepared and a people that are ready and a people that have a living faith, a firm faith, a strong faith, an ever-increasing faith in you. And we are now in time of a greater preparation, Lord. You have been speaking to my heart so plainly and so clearly that we must become strong in faith. Faith in you, Lord God, not just faith in faith, but faith in you and what your word has to say concerning our place and position in you, concerning your care and guidance and protection over our lives, concerning your provision for us, concerning the full experience of salvation that you have for us. We thank you and bless you for this evening, Father God. Speak through me, use me. I pray that those in attendance here, those listening by internet, and those that will listen into the future, that they would have ears to hear, that the Holy Spirit would speak to them a portion of Scripture, a Scripture today, multiple Scriptures. Whatever it is, Lord, that each heart needs, may that passage, may that word, may that revelation by Holy Spirit be imparted to them and for them to be forever changed as the result of hearing your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, this is part two of what I started Sunday. Sunday was called Final Faith. In other words, how is our faith going to be at the end? Final faith. In order to have strong final faith, we have to be strong in faith now. And you've heard me say this before. Faith is developed three ways. First, there's the faith in God. In other words, we find out what God's word says about God, about Jesus, about his salvation, about who he is. We begin learning the attributes about God. When the word of God says that he's almighty, have you taken time to think about that God is almighty? And if God is almighty and the word of God says he's almighty, therefore he is almighty, is he almighty to you? If he's almighty, that means he's all powerful. And if he's all powerful, then is there anything that he can't accomplish within your life? But see, we have to take time to think and to meditate on Scripture, not just say, oh, the word of God says he's almighty. Well, what does that mean to you? How is that working out in your life? If the Word of God calls God in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God is what? Creator. So God created everything. Everything that we see, the earth that we live on, the moon that we see in the evening, or the stars that we see at night, or the galaxies that we're able to see through the Hubble telescope, and all these different things that God is the creator. He created all the vegetation on this planet. He created the birds and the fish in the sea, the wildlife that roams the earth. Then he created mankind, the pinnacle of his creation. If God is creator, and I know that he is creator, then does he still create? You see, it's amazing some of the things that I've been hearing taking place in the body of Christ. God's using everyday people, and there's things of creative miracles taking place in people's lives. There's actually organs that have been failing, that they're getting, that organ is functioning again. There's people that have diabetes where the pancreas all of a sudden is functioning again. There's people that have had, this is really amazing, high cholesterol, and they're going back in and checking with the doctors, and their cholesterol level is normal. I hope they change their lifestyle afterwards so it doesn't get all clogged back up again. And we're hearing of these wonderful things because these people have come to an understanding, and they've stayed with that understanding long enough that God is creator. Therefore, if he created all things in the beginning, which I know that he did, then why can't he still create things now? Okay? And so there's this wonderful thing that's happening within the body of Christ in these last days. Yes, perilous times are here. Perilous times, things are going to get worse. But the body of Christ is going to shine brighter and brighter in these days. And we have such an anticipation to look forward to these final days. And it should be days of excitement. Why? Why can we call them terrible days, but yet days of excitement? Because God's the God over us. He watches over his word to perform it. He watches over us, his family. And he wants us to continue to be about the things that he wants us to be busy about. And he still wants to use us to reach those around us. But he also wants our faith stretched out a whole lot more than what it is right now. Amen? So we've talked about this subject on Sunday, final faith. I'm going to go ahead and read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul is referring to his last moments or his last weeks. Could have been days, we don't know. I know that he thought, when you read the writings here, when he asked for someone to come to him and bring the books and bring something for him to wear, so he knew that he was going to have a little bit of time left here on earth. But he says, I'm already being poured out. This is 2 Timothy 4:6. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's finished his life's work. He has come to the end of everything that he was to accomplish, that Jesus Christ had for his life to fulfill. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. And as I pointed out Sunday, the last part here, I have kept the faith. I have possessed the faith. I refused to let go of the call of God on my life. I refused to let go of the salvation, Jesus' salvation on my life, all the things that Jesus taught to me and revealed to me. I refuse to let go of the one in whom I have believed, and I believe that everything that I've committed to him, he's able to keep until that day. He knew, and he refused to let go. That's the type of faith that every one of us need to have. No matter how difficult the situation, no matter how horrible something that we might find ourselves in, even to the place where you're just like, I don't understand what's going on, but I've come to believe that God is God, and I'm still going to acknowledge him as God over this situation in my life, even though that I see no reprieve. I mean, right before I came over here this evening to see all those mudslides out there in Southern California, areas where I grew up in, just to see just devastation there, huge boulders coming down because of all the wildfires. Now, there isn't any vegetation for the water to soak up in, and so that's just taking that topsoil right off and just sweeping it down. This young man just looking for his mother, 69 years old. You know, he's like, where's my mom? You know, it came into her bedroom. You know, and he can't find his mom. Where is she? Was she swept away? He just to see the hopelessness on this, you know, your heart goes out, oh, Lord God. You know, as I was, right before I walked out of the house, and I just said at him, I said, Lord, if she's alive, let her be found. Let her be found. But you know what? If she isn't, I hope that she knew you. I hope that she knew you. All of a sudden, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, the rain started coming. You're asleep. And then all of a sudden, you know, just can you imagine, just a whole wall of mud just comes in with boulders. And, you know, just begins devastating, you know, those areas. We have to be people that are ready, everyone. And just Paul said he was ready. And that no matter what he faced, and we looked at some of the things that his life went through, what he experienced in his life, and he said he kept the faith. And that's what we have to make sure that we always find ourselves in. If there's an area of your faith walk that you need to become strengthened, and you need to make sure you're spending time in God's Word to get strengthened in that area. It could be a health issue. It could be a financial issue. It could be a mental issue. You need to stay with the Word of God in a specific area. Hey, maybe there's somebody here that needs, you don't have patience. It was amazing. I heard this pastor last night on TV. He says, I'm a whole lot more patient than I was before. But I tell you what, if I'm the first one there, if I'm at that red light and that turns green, he goes, I floor it. I'm the first one I'm through the intersection. I'm like, wow. He still has that confession. Like, I'm boom, I'm out of here. I hope God's Word gets to us a whole lot quicker and a whole lot deeper, especially in the area of patience, or when we find ourselves in a difficult situation, to look to the one who's been through it all, who's walked through it all, who's with us in all of it, and he knows its final end and outcome. Amen? And so Frank did a message here on a Wednesday night in Hebrews, and I want to just pick up on Hebrews 2. He basically focused with Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to focus with verse 2, Hebrews 12. This is some last-minute things that I wrote down. That was a little bit different from my study I did this afternoon. But it still ties in together. So I'll read verses 1 and 2 together, Hebrews chapter 12. You know, today I had the audio Bible on, and I was playing Hebrews and then James and then 1 Peter. If you ever get an opportunity, I mean, they have these apps for your smartphones now, and you can just download and listen to the Bible in all these different versions, which I'm still partial to the King James Version, but I do like listening to the dramatized version. But just to hear, the passages over and over, hear the books of the over and over. I just, sometimes when I'm doing my physical therapy, I call it, I just, you know, for an hour there, it's just the Word of God just going on and on. At times it's praise and worship. But if I have an opportunity to hear the Word of God, I'm going to do it. You know, there's a lot of other things. Like you could turn on a TV and turn on and watch the news, you know, when you're doing something. But I'd rather hear the Word of God, because that's how faith comes, by hearing the Word of God. And so I just like listening to it over and over and over again. When you get into some things in the Old Testament, in Leviticus and things like that, you may not think it can get a little boring, but there's something still in Leviticus that God can minister to you in. There's a teaching or something he can reveal to you and give you some spiritual insight on it. Amen? All of God's Word is life. Amen? Okay, therefore, verse 1, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, all those gone before us, see, you have to go back and read chapter 11, and chapter 11 begins with righteous Abel, and it starts making this journey down of all these people who believed God, who walked by faith. And you see all these different ways that they walked by faith. Like I've got a few numbers by some of them. It says, by faith, Abel offered. And so it speaks about his offering. So by faith, he offered to God a pleasing sacrifice. The second one, by faith, Enoch, he was translated so that he did not see death. Why? Because he started having a journey with God. He began walking with God every day. And it seems like God was just so pleased with him, he just translated him from this earth into his presence. Isn't that pretty cool? And the third one here, it says, by faith, Noah, when he was warned, he moved with godly fear to prepare an ark. So Abel offered, Enoch was translated. It says, by faith, Noah moved. In other words, he moved on what he was told. So faith, you can see here, take your time, go through the Hebrews chapter 11, and see how people initiated or see how people acted their faith. What did they do? And the fourth one here, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. What did he obey? God said, leave your house, leave your family. Take your wife, take your servants, take your cattle, leave where you're at right now and go to a place where you don't know where you're going, but when you get there, I'll tell you you're there. That's pretty wild. Somebody hears a voice and they call it God. Christine, God told me, we're leaving. CSC, Lord said, we're going to go to North Carolina. Where? I have no idea. We're all going to pack up, though. Yeah, right, Pastor. Right. We're all packing up and we're all leaving. Can you imagine this guy? He comes to his family, he comes to his wife, which back then they just worshipped idols. God spoke to me. Which one? That one, this one, this image, that image? No. No, the unseen, this un... Can you just imagine having a conversation and everybody just kind of like shaking their head? Can you imagine his dad, his brother, other family members? Who is this God? I mean, it's not one that we make? Who is he? I don't know. I'm going to get to know him, but he told me to leave. He told me to get away from you guys. Where are you going? He told me to go in that direction. Well, where? I don't know, but when I get there, I'll know. That's pretty wild when you think of it. And then all the family, you know, him, his wife, Sarai at that time, Lot, his wife, and all the people that that went with him. And then when he got there, he knew. So it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. And I think all these things, when you go through them all, it'll teach you something concerning faith. God's going to reveal something to you that he wants you to obey. God's going to require something that you're going to offer up to him. By faith, you're going to begin like Enoch. You're going to begin walking with God and talking with God and just dialoguing. You know, I've read something today in the Word. I know you're everywhere and I know you hear me. Sometimes it doesn't feel like you do, but I know you're here right now. So I'm just going to talk to you. And just you just start initiating, because that's what the word Enoch means, to initiate. So he initiated conversation with God. He just began dialoguing with God. And it's amazing, if you look back there in Genesis, when he started, it was after his son was born. Something about a child coming in that gets you to think about things eternal a whole lot more. Or if God warns us about something, like Noah, being divinely warned to move, you know, on what God speaks to our heart about. So going back here to Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. I think it's really neat there. It says the sin, so usually there's something specific in all of our lives that we're dealing with. The sin which so easily ensnares us or trips us up, thwarts us, puts out a trip line we trip over. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this is the part I wanted to get to. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus knew what was coming here to do. He knew what he needed to accomplish. But he also, he knew the end goal. He knew where he was going. He knew the end result. And when we begin understanding the end result, where we're going, then we just realize that everything in between is just a temporary journey here on earth. It's just a temporary. Jesus knew he was going to return to the Father. But before his return to the Father, he had to make satisfaction for the redemption of the human race. The cross. He endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. What was the first joy? To be once again probably reunited with Father. To be right there in the presence with God himself. Amen? But what's another joy? Every single one of you, every single person that has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that had become part of the family of God again. The joy that was set before him. Probably all of us. All of us in God's presence forever. You know, was it worth the sacrifice? Of course it was worth the sacrifice. Was it horrible? Yes, it was horrible. We can't even imagine the sin of the world placed upon Jesus the Christ. It says in Isaiah 52, it says his visage or his appearance or his body was so marred that he was not even recognizable as a human being. Can you imagine just have every sickness and disease placed upon him, that what his body must have looked like? It's just, it's just mind-blowing to us what Jesus Christ experienced. The joy that was set before him. This is temporary. This isn't going to last forever. It's just for a short period of time. It needs to be done. Oh, but on the other side of this, on the other side of this. Sometimes we don't have the picture of the other side. We only got a picture of this side of what we're facing and going through. God wants to give you a bigger picture so that you'll have a greater faith in the journey. He wants to show you this is temporary. There's something else. There may be just something right now in your life that you just realize is temporary and it's going to be behind you one day. Maybe in a week, maybe not in a week. something I've been journeying through for over 7 years, but I know it's going to be behind me. See, I know it's going to be behind me. That I live from that place. I live from the expectation it has been already secured for me in Jesus Christ. I'm walking it out through the life and ability of Jesus Christ, and I'm not letting go. I refuse to let go of what God's Word says. And that's a place that each and every one of us have to be. You refuse to let go of the truth of God's Word, because there will be a manifestation. Amen? And so it says here, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author is author. He's the one who started it. He's the one who started the whole wonderful redemption, the new covenant that we have, this wonderful salvation. He's the author of it. He's the originator of it. And he's the one who secured our eternal redemption. And the word finisher means the one who's going to bring it to its completion. He's going to bring it to its completed end. Do you believe? Do you have faith today that what he started in you, he's going to finish till your last breath? No matter what you walk through, no matter what you face. See, do you believe that he'll see you through it? He'll be with you in it and see you through it until last breath. See, Paul had that. Paul had such a, he did. Paul knew that no matter what he faced, it didn't matter if he was, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was in prison, how many shipwrecks he experienced, how many times that he was stoned, and he was, it said he was left for dead. They drug him out of the city and just left him there. And it says the disciples got around him. I mean, that's what some people believe in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he had his third heaven experience, that he probably was actually dead. And he says, whether in the body, out of the body, I don't know, but I do know what I experienced. And but you know what the wild thing was about it? That when he stood up after that, he went back into the city, right? We went back into the place where they had just stoned him. Can you imagine what he probably looked like? It didn't say he went to the river and cleaned up. can you imagine being pelted with stones? I mean, how many of you have ever been hit? And you probably get a little swollen or something. Can you imagine what his body looked like? And here he comes walking back into the city. I'm back. he did not shy away. You know what? They left him for dead, right? And he said, God's the Lord over death. I'm still alive. See y'all later. I'll be back on my next journey through. But he was going to make sure he went back in there. You left me for dead. This is what God did. Amen? So he's the finisher. He brings us to our journey's end. When you look up the word finish, it also means to the finish or our journey's end. And then I put here on earth. The journey's end, here on earth. It's a life of faith that we live. And our faith, our trust, our reliance, our confidence in God and in his word needs to continue to increase day by day. In my walk with the Lord, especially in the beginning, I couldn't do it day by day. At times, I couldn't even do it hour by hour. There were times I had to do it thought by thought. Thought by thought. Because I was so bombarded with just a messed up mental thinking process that was just so wild that, wait a second, that's not God's thought. This is God's thought. Okay, Lord God, help me with that right now. This is what I'm thinking right now. This is what I'm feeling right now. But I'm finding out this is what your word says. And I choose to believe right now. I choose to grab hold of what your word says concerning me. Your word says that I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, everything that needs to be rewired in my thinking, be rewired in my emotions, be rewired in my feelings, I know you're going to do it. And sometimes I had to go back over that and go back over that. And then all of a sudden, it was almost like the old operators. Remember, you ever see those old movies when they go, ch-ch-ch, you know, they take the cord out here and they stick it in here. You have a connection now, sir? Yep, got the connection now. The connection's been made. Once that connection gets in there, boom, you got a clear channel, you know? And he's wanting to do that. You know, Holy Spirit's like that little operator there. Here's where you're at, and he wants to take where you're at and plug it in where you need to be. Amen? Get that thought rewired. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so at times, this journey, when you look back and you see the journey you've been on, but at times it's moment by moment. Sometimes it's just here a little and there a little, but it's still here and it's still there and it's still little. It's still progress. And that's what you have to realize. It's still progress. Amen? So what's he going to do? He's the finisher. And what does it say he's the finisher of? Author and finisher of what? Our faith. So the word our refers to all of us. So you need to put a Y in front of the word our, because it's an individual walk, your faith. He's the author and finisher of your faith. Well, that's why it's so important for us to share our journey. It's important for us to share, like Angela got up and shared a little bit on Sunday. She shared where she was at. She had sisters gather around her and some brothers gather around her and begin to minister to her, because people are in the same boat that she's been in. And when you've gone through some of the same things that you hear other people are going through, it's like you lend your faith to them. You impart life to them. And God wants us to be able to take our life experience, our testimony, what we've been through, what we've experienced, and impart it to someone else to impart life into them. Like I've been doing on the Thursday class. I started up last week. And we have to go from a place, and I hope this is going to be developed all throughout this year, we have to go from being rooted in the Lord. In other words, you know what the Word of God has to say, so you're rooted in what it says, but then it says to be built up in Him. It talks about a place of that truth doing something in you, building something in you, changing something in you, so that you can experience what it says in Colossians 2:6. It says rooted and built up in Him in 2:7, but verse 6 says so that you can walk in Him. As you have received Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in Him. What good is knowing something, and what good is receiving a revelation about something if you're not able to walk in that truth? Put that truth to action. Put that truth to work within your life, to walk in the reality of it. Amen? So, let's go over here to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, one of the books I was listening to today. You know, to get a good grasp on, can't really call these books. They're more like letters to people. What I was told years ago, to get a really good grasp of a letter, of one of these epistles, you need to go through it. You need to stay with one and read through it like 7 different times. I was told, read it 7 times, Mark. Read it 7 times. Ask yourself different questions, you know, as you read it each time. Who is Peter writing to? Why is he writing to them? What is the main message that he's trying to convey? And have questions that you ask yourself. What is it in here that God wants me to see? What is it in here that God wants me to get? Is there something he wants to reveal to me? Is there something that he wants to work out of me? Is there something he wants to work in me? The more questions you ask as you read one of these letters, I tell you what, these things will just start just jumping off the page at you. Jumping off the page at you. Okay, here we go. I'll start with verse 3. We're going to work down to verse 5. And I want to look at a couple words here in verse 5. Paul had this wonderful ability to start with verse 3 and I think put the period at the end of verse 5. So, blessed be the Lord God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. This is referring to the new birth. Begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Speaking about our salvation in Jesus Christ, us being born again. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. Reserved in heaven for you. Now this inheritance, it's we as believers are continuing to find out what our inheritance is in Jesus Christ. Most people get an inheritance after somebody has left them something in their will. True? You usually don't get an inheritance ahead of time. Some people do give it ahead of time, kind of like the prodigal son. He asked for his inheritance ahead of time, and so the father gave him his stuff ahead of time. But after Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, there's an inheritance that we have. But it says it's reserved in heaven for us. So there are truths that God's Word reveals to us so that we can secure those things and have them be experienced here on earth. There are some things that are going to be reserved for eternity when we get there, but there are so many things that He has for us to experience now in this life. So we just don't have to just hang on in here. So as you're reading the Word of God, when it talks about in Him scriptures or in whom we have, you start finding out all the blessings and benefits that God has for us to be experiencing in this lifetime. But it's up to us to find out what God's Word has to say and secure them how? By faith. This is what God's Word says. He says, Jesus Christ secured this. It's part of my inheritance. Therefore, I thank you, Lord, that this is going to be part of my life. And we have to stay with things. I take the Word of God. I pray the Word of God. I intercede the Word of God. I proclaim the Word of God. I make certain passages of Scripture proclamations within my life. You need to do the same thing. So it's reserved in heaven for us. Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. It's reserved with Him. He reveals His truth to us. Lord God, You have that for my life now. Thank You for revealing that to me right now. I thank You, Father, for it's working out within my life on this side of eternity. Now, the next verse here, I want you to hear this. It says, who are kept? Who are the ones that are kept? Those that are, what? Born of God, begotten of Him. Who are kept, we are kept how? By the power of God. How? Through faith. See, if you don't believe that you're kept by God, then you're not going to be kept by God. This word kept talked about that which a guard, if a guard is standing over a supply room, he cannot allow anybody to get in that supply room. He is going to give his life to keep his charge. He's been charged with something to keep, and he's supposed to guard it with his life. This is what this word is talking about. It says we are kept by God. We are kept by the power of God through faith. Do you believe that you possess the power of God in your life? Do you believe that you possess the power of God in your life? It says you're to keep that and not ever let it go. That word power is the Greek word dunamis. It's the Strong's number 1411. And it's the same word that Jesus said to those after He resurrected from the dead, you're going to stay here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high to be a witness, to be a living representative of me on this planet. So we are kept by the power. Another definition of that word power is the ability, the enabling of God. You are kept by the enabling of God. In other words, if there's something you're facing, He can enable you, empower you, instruct you what you need to do next. It's really not that difficult. We're the ones that make it difficult. And so He keeps us, He guards us, He protects us, He surrounds us with His power and with His ability, and He makes it known to us in His Word and also by the Holy Spirit through faith. Because if you don't believe it, you're not going to get it. If you don't have a trust, reliance, or confidence in what the Word of God has to say, then you'll never possess it. And there's so many people that aren't possessing the promises of God, aren't possessing the life that God has for us. Because of the world that we live in or a present circumstance that you're facing may try to speak to you louder that your present experience is more of a truth than God's Word is. And a lot of times that happens to us. Because of a physical thing or a relational thing or a financial situation, a physical ailment, something is trying to speak into our life that is trying to say that's greater than what God's Word says. But if you want to be kept by the ability of God, you're going to have to stay with the Word of God long enough until that becomes a greater reality to you than the thing you're presently facing. Do you know that faith is like work? I mean, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean, I've got to stay with the Word of God. I think on the Word of God. I pray the Word of God. I go back. I get my Bible out. I get my concordance. I look up all these different references concerning the thing that I'm believing God for. I find instances in the Word of God where people did it right. I read the instances where they did it wrong. Well, how'd they mess up there? Like, I want to find out why they messed up so I don't have to mess up.
And I listened to people's testimony. Now, I heard you got a breakthrough in this area. Now, how'd that happen to you? And I'm listening to what the person is having to say of what God taught them, what God revealed them, because we can learn from one another. Amen? And it encourages me, like, wow, if my sister Pauline can believe God, I can believe God. Right? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he redeemed or delivered from the hand of the enemy. It's testimony is so important. How do you think they sell so many of these products on TV? Testimonials. Testimonial, 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 testimonial. You watch it, you watch it. You know what happens? The first time you probably shuck it off. And all of a sudden kind of get your ear like, Like, wow, hey, you know, I probably could put that on the card. I probably could go ahead and buy that. The next thing you know, you're buying the thing. Because you've heard it over. Wait a second. You mean to tell me you can hear something over and over and over and it begins to influence you? Well, infomercials work because they know how to work the infomercials. Because if it's before you long enough, and they know X amount of people, there's X amount of people, like, I don't want that stuff. Bunch of garbage anyway. I'll get it and probably break. Oh, yeah, lifetime replacement. And you go to call up. Well, you have to call up between 8 and 8:05 a.m. I remember one time I tried to get a replacement on my Nutribullet. I used it so much I wore out the bearings in it. And I made the phone call, and it says, you'll be on hold for the next 3 hours. I said, that's crazy. I wrote to customer service. I said, I'm not going to be on. That's how many people, when they first came out, the bearings were going bad in the bottom of the Nutribullet. And he goes, he goes, dial in the whole number. And soon as it turns out, so I'm looking at my iPhone, and it's like 7:59. Soon as it goes over, apparently it's all computerized. Soon as it goes over to 8 o'clock, push in the last number. And you know what? I was only had to wait for 5 minutes. I was like 8:05, and the representative came on, and they sent me out of 3 hours. You know, crazy, huh? But they know what sells. They know if you hear something long enough, and you hear testimonial after testimonial. I mean, how many of you heard the what's that Omega? What's the pain of the joints? The muscle oil. Okay, Omega XL. Okay, now there's probably one reason that Pat knows about Omega XL is because when we have pain in our bodies, we want some relief from the pain in our bodies. Right, Pat? All right? And you kind of listen to it. Christine, how many times? I said, I wonder if that stuff works. So I go online and try to find it real cheap, you know? Or look at other products, right? Because they keep saying it will work. It will get rid of pain. And when you're in pain, you don't want pain. And so you listen and you listen. It's almost like faith begins to develop in that product. The Word of God says that Joshua, though God told Joshua to meditate in the Word day and night. Meditate it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Keep it before your eyes day and night. And it says he will be what? He'd be successful and prosperous in the way. Meditate means to mull it over, means to chew it over. It means to take it in and then bring it back to remembrance. Take it in, bring it back to remembrance. Take it in, bring it back to remembrance. Why do you think that God said to meditate on the Word? Because he knew that if he kept it before his eyes long enough, man, God's going to do this. God's going to do this. If a commercial can do that to people, how much more should God's Word do that to us? Amen? So God has built within mankind the ability to believe, the ability to dream, the ability to achieve the impossible, the ability to find out something that the Word of God has to say and say, well, wait a second, he created all things. Genesis 1:1. The Word of God tells me in Revelation chapter 1, I think it's verse 11, or somewhere around in there, it says that he's almighty. Creator, almighty. Then the angel of the Lord tells Mary, for with God nothing will be impossible. Jesus tells a man
who's believing for his son to be set free, if you can believe or if you'll have faith, nothing will be impossible to you. You start putting all that together and start thinking on that, and then you target a specific area that you know that you want to find out about God or an area that you want to believe him in, and you just start thinking about that, meditating on it, you're going to start seeing greater results in your life than you have before. You see, we're going to have a strong final faith when we end, especially in these last days here. Because it says here, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. The last time. Okay, this word just simply here, the last time means the final time. And the word time is kairos, which speaks about there's an allotment. How many of us know, if I was going to bring a ruler, but I don't have a ruler. Let me just make a line here real quick. And another line. And then another line here. And let me put an arrow here real quick. Okay. Okay, over here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Time started. Okay? Time started. Over here, Revelation 22, verse 1, and a new heavens and a new earth. And this is the timeline from Genesis 1:1 all the way through. And somewhere on there, we're probably just like right down over here somewhere, some little dot, you know, on that timeline. In other words, everything has a beginning, and it's going to have an end. God says, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. And this word here, time, talks about an allotment of time. Your time came when you were conceived, and we're going to have an ending time, our last breath, right? We're going to come to the end of our journey here on this planet. Paul said he was full of faith. Paul said he had not denied the Lord in any area. And it says right here, for salvation to be revealed at the last time. This is referring to the culmination of our salvation. This is referring to the end that we're all going to be looking forward to. I do. I mean, look at John Ross. John Ross, this past Sunday, he read the words of a hymn to us. Remember that, the words of the hymn that he read to us? He started weeping and getting teary when it started speaking about our eternal destination, where we're going to end up and be in the presence of the Lord. You see, this is where everything's going. So don't you want to have a strong finish? A strong finish? You see, for the joy that was set before him, it said that Jesus endured the cross. There's a lot of stuff in this life we're going to have to endure. But this life is not the end. The Word of God in James, next time you heat up something on the stove and you see a little bit of steam go up, that says that right there, from the beginning, from that boiling water, till you don't see it anymore, that little rising up of that steam, it says it's your life. It says it's a vapor. I mean, that's not very long. When you compare it to eternity, it is important. That vapor is important. Your life is important. But compared to eternity, it's just but a vapor. But that vapor had a beginning, and that vapor has an end. And I want that end to be a very nice smell. When you get over that pot of something cooking and that vapor comes up, that aroma comes up, oh, we just want it to be put a big old smile on Papa God's face, right? And that's how we want to end, just by to put a big old smile on his face. Well done! Come on in! Been waiting to see you face to face, Mark. Wow! That's what he should be able to say about all of us. Like I said a couple weeks ago, you know, the door opens up. Kind of peek your head in there at eternity. Yeah, come on in. Have a seat, Mark. I don't want that. I make it in, but just by the, you know, just barely getting, I think it's in 2 Peter where it talks about an abundant entrance will be opened. An abundant entrance. I just love that abundant entrance that can be open to every believer in Jesus Christ. I'll just read it to you. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's 2 Peter 1:11. When you look up that word abundant entrance into the kingdom, it seems like it's like the throne room doors are swung open, and there you come walking in. Here comes Mark! Woo! here comes Gerard. Yahoo! Here comes MC. Here comes Pat. Yeah! It says an abundant entrance. You know, that's exciting. Do you know that? We don't, like I said, we don't want to hear that. Yeah, have a seat. No. No. That is not the way it's going to be. Why? I've decreed it. I've declared it. That's just the way it's going to be. Just the way it's going to be. Now, someone might say, oh, get ready for your testing coming. Come on. Jesus went through it. I've got his ability in me. We're able to walk through anything that we're supposed to walk through. Amen? Okay, not that I'm cocky. Thank you, dear. I have my humility meter there. I love you, honey. But we should have a confidence. I mean, Paul was so confident. He said, I know there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. I know. He knew how he lived. He knew he was at his end journey, and he knew what he was going to get. He knew it. And he wasn't cocky about it. He just obeyed God every day. He followed him every day. No matter what he faced every day, he lived for the glory of God. You live for the glory of God. You live to put a smile on God's face. You say no to the flesh. You say yes to the Holy Spirit. You say no to your own thoughts. You say yes to God's thoughts. You're going to start living a more God, Jesus-filled life. Amen? Alrighty. Where am I at? Okay, 1 Peter. Let's go ahead and read just a little bit further. So there, okay, this word here, time. So do you see here that there's going to be, you have an allotment of time? Doesn't the Word of God tell us in Psalm, I think it's Psalm chapter 90, oh Lord, give us a heart of wisdom to number our days, to number our days, to realize that we're not going to be here forever and that whatever that number is, I don't know how many numbers that our day is, but one day that calendar is going to flip over and it's not going to flip over again. You know, one day it's going to be our death date. It's going to be on that tombstone or whatever it is. It's going to be there. And the dash in between is going to represent the life that we lived. I want that life to glorify God. I want that dash to glorify God. How about you? I'm not afraid of that day. Neither should you. But I'm wanting to more live to the glory of God every day. Amen? And I believe, I truly believe that there is a strong faith. Like I said, the faith is developed in three ways. You first find out about God so you can have faith in God. And after you start developing faith in God, what the Word of God says about who He is, then you start walking in a faith toward God. In other words, there's something that your life is now moving in that direction that is toward God. First it's in God, the knowledge. Then you start living a life that's toward God, more toward God than what you normally chose before. Then you start developing, or no, not developing, you start demonstrating the faith of God. First have to develop a faith in God. How can you know about God unless you find out who He is? How can you know what He can do unless you find out what He does? How can you understand the full eternal redemption that we have in Jesus Christ if you don't search it out and know what it is so that you can begin moving toward that as a living faith, and then it becomes so real to you, you start exercising and living it naturally. It just becomes second nature to you. There are certain things that you have learned. There are certain vocations that you have. You just know how to do things naturally now. When you first started out in that field, it was very difficult. But the more that you did it, the more that you learned it, it's just like, you hardly even think about it. It's just the natural way of living. And that's what it needs to become in our walk with God, a natural way of living. Amen? And so let me just go ahead and finish this up. And okay, that looks like this we're going to end this evening. To be ready at the last time or the end of your kairos. Did I put that down here? Oh, yeah. I got a picture of an hourglass today. And I was looking at the hourglass, and my notes at home that I threw away, I wrote down an hourglass, and I put how much sand might be in the bottom. I was like, wow, there's a whole lot more sand in the bottom than there is in the top now. You know, when you get to be a certain age, you understand that you have more in the bottom than you do left to live out. But then I drew another hourglass with all the sand in the bottom, and I just went like that in that top part of the hourglass, and that one last grain of sand That one last grain of sand means I'm here and now I'm there. Amen? Here, there. That fast. Pretty cool, huh? Are you ready for the last grain? That last grain of sand to fall through there, to be absent from the body is yeehaw. Right? I'm not hearing a whole lot of amens, but that's okay. So, you know, like some of these things, is it really possible to live a life like this? Yes, it is. Amen? Well, that's getting better. Look, it says, in this you greatly rejoice. In what you greatly rejoice? Looking forward to that time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now, at this present time, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved, you've experienced difficulty because of the various trials you've been experiencing. If you say you believe in something, I believe the Lord's in charge of our finance. I believe the Lord gives me work and he brings in that work. We're good stewards over that money he brings into our life. We tithe off the top what God wants us to give. We live to the glory of God. We don't live wildly. We don't live frugally. But I believe that God is the source of my finances. I guarantee that's going to be tested. It will be tested. It will be tested. I mean, we're sitting out there making those proclamations. Yeah, I believe God. I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the word of God says, all these things will be added unto me. I guarantee you're going to be tested. Why? That the genuineness, what does it say here? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold. Now, some people would like to have more gold, but that's okay. It says here, even back then, they're comparing faith to gold, and he's saying that faith, genuine faith, is more precious than gold. Because if you've got faith, God's got all the gold that he'll bring into your life that you need. Okay? All right? Okay. That the genuineness or the reality of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You need to know if what you say is real. Is it genuine? Is it genuine? You know, you go to the flea market and you have all these knockoff products. You know, like you're going to get a Coach purse for $25. Come on. You know? Or whatever it is that you're looking for. You look at these things. Oh, genuine! It's really the thing. It's like, right. Yeah. Okay. We all of us are going to face something to see if we're life itself, the devil itself, your flesh, this world is going to give you the opportunity. To prove if what you say you believe is going to provide you the opportunity. So what happens if you fail? You go back and you get yourself reestablished in that truth and you're going to go through it again. What if you fail? You go back, you get reestablished in that truth. I like do-overs, okay? I like that we get to redo, okay? I like that I need to know where I stand. And so you need to know where you stand. I need to know where I stand in any given area in my walk with the Lord, because if it's faulty, I want it to become strong and firm and unshakable. Okay? And that's what you all have to realize. I'm not saying that you see, sometimes when I say something like, "Oh, Pastor, you're just asking for more trouble than you realize." No, I'm not asking for more trouble than what I'm saying right now. I want to know where I stand. If there's a truth of God's word that I'm standing on, the only way that I'm going to realize for that truth to come to pass within my life is for me to face what the Word of God says that I need to face and to see if I really own that truth or not. Do I possess it? Am I a possessor of it? Is it really real to me? Or is it just some head knowledge? Is it just a thought? Or is it a real connection with God that I have with that truth? Do I really believe? Now let me just finish this up and we'll end. In whom, okay, whom having not seen, you love. Have you seen Jesus? I mean, has Jesus come up here today? Any of you shook his hand today? Right? None of us have. Okay? Now, some of you have had dreams about Jesus. Some of you have sensed the presence of the Lord. But Peter is saying here, whom having not seen, speaking of Jesus, you love. You know that beyond a shadow. You look around at everybody in this room, and you realize that he is more real than anybody here in this room. And his love for you is greater than any other person's love for you in this room. Isn't that wonderful? I remember one time, I don't know if Christine remembers this, I said, honey, I can't love you with all my heart. I just can't. And she just looked at me. She didn't say anything. Because the Word of God says, I'm to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and being and strength. That's reserved for him. And this is the revelation I got. When I love God the way that the Word of God says I'm to love God, I'll love her more than she can ever be loved. I will be able to treat her and love her beyond what any person is able to do on this planet, a human being's love for one another. When my supreme love is God, I'm able to love her and I'm able to love you the way that you need to be loved. Amen? Because it says, the second commandment is like unto the first. You shall love others as you love yourself. When you look up original translations and you dig this out, I love this one translation. It says, the second commandment is like unto the first, that you will love others as you yourself have been loved by God. When you get the revelation of how much God loves you, it sets you free to love others the way other people need to be loved, to treat other people the way that they need to be treated. Not how you want them to treat you. You're going to love them regardless of how they're treating you. See, that's another way to find out where you're at. Now, I'm not talking mushy. I'm not talking about being a pal. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians 13, where you're able to be patient, you're able to be kind, you're able to be understanding, you're able to bear with people that you'd rather not bear with. Oh my God, I got to put up with this person. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord God. I'm talking about the God kind of love that God has to use even on us. Says he's long-suffering. I was like, oh Lord God, help me be more like you. Okay. It says, whom have you not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing. This is also comes from the word faith. Yet you have faith that he is, that his salvation is real, what Jesus Christ has done is real, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, that you're a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, you have a place with him throughout eternity. He says, though you have not actually tangibly experienced any of this, you know it's all yours. Wow. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Here's this part here. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. How many of you know that while we're on this planet, this mind's going to have to be renewed always? There's always input coming in into our thoughts and our thinkings and our feelings and our emotions that are going to try to be contrary to the Word of God. There's coming a time where you're going to receive the salvation of your soul. It's not going to have any input from the fallen world at all. When we die, remember, before if we go to the Lord, before he comes for the church, our spirit and soul go to be with the Lord. The body remains here on earth. At that moment, it says you also receive the salvation of your souls. In other words, that mind is never going to go astray. It's never going to think a wrong thought. It's never going to go downhill again. Isn't that pretty cool? So we're going to receive the salvation of our souls. There's coming a time in the future where we're just going to be whole, just complete. Jesus Christ has secured for us what? We're complete in him. It is our possession by faith. And so every day, my life moves toward the goal of becoming more like Jesus in every thought, in every intent, in every experience, in every relationship. It's becoming more and more like him. Jesus secured the right for me to be perfected in him or mature in him. Do you believe that? See, these type of things, you have to realize that every day you're being changed more according to the image and likeness of Jesus. When you wake up in the morning, I'm becoming more and more like the image and likeness of Jesus. My life is being transformed more and more like him. I don't care what kind of a day that you have. It's just giving you the opportunity to see where you're at in that journey and where you need to change. Right? But it says there is coming at an end. The end what? The end of your faith. The end of your faith. See, once we're with him, we're just going to be there. We're just going to know him as he is. Every thought will come to us will just be the right thought, never be wrong, the guidance, the direction. But now in this world, well, we get this impulse. We get this. This is said. This is said. This is said. Well, you need to do this. Well, God's word says that. Yeah, but. But we're going to receive the end of our faith one day. There's coming a time we're going to come like Paul. I have kept the faith. I have kept what he has entrusted to me. I've kept the word that he's revealed to me. I've kept the revelation of Jesus Christ that has come to me. And I refused to let it go no matter what my life experienced. And you know, there's some horrific things that have happened in believers' lives, even in some of your lives, that have pushed us to the very precipice. Do I still want to walk this journey or not? I mean, being called to the Bayfront Center when one of our sisters here lost her son. And, you know, like I'm supposed to have the answer. I was like, Lord, help me. Help me share with this sister that has just lost her son. Tragic motorcycle accident. Would you please come in and see him? And pray. You know, those things are very difficult to do. To see a body that was cleaned up as best it could be cleaned up. And laying there with the mom there and the dad. And I mean, you, not only were they tried to their limits, you're sitting there and looking at this young life that is no longer on this side of eternity. And really, since I really didn't know him, I didn't know where his faith was at. I'm looking at, oh, Lord, I pray that he's with you. I hope. Of course, a mom really had assurance that he was. But to hear at the memorial service, his high school teacher came up to me. Said, oh, what a strong faith that he had. I go, really? I go, can you share a little bit with me about his faith? He goes, about his faith? He's the one that was witnessing to me that I needed to come to know Jesus. So here's one of his high school teachers coming up to me after the memorial service, talking about a strong faith, such a committed faith, that he's witnessing to his high school teacher about her need for Jesus Christ. So, you know, you're right there, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. But still, that can really impact the faith of a mom or dad. Where's God? My child shouldn't have to die at this young age. He's got his whole life to live. You go through this whole cycle of things. It's God is so big that he can handle these things when you face them. Just be real with him. Just know that he's not going to leave you when you're going through these doubts and these ups and downs and why, what's going on, and getting really upset. God can handle all that. But your faith inside your spirit is still real, and it will come back. It will come back to surface. It brings you back because he is the beginning, and he is the end. And he's there to journey with you through everything that you face, whether you understand it or you don't understand it. As one place that I had to get, I didn't understand about the ending of this person, this family member in my life, and it was really affecting me, it was my mom. It was affecting me in ministry here. I was having a hard time share certain truths of God's word. I didn't have an assurance. And I just remember an intercessory prayer one day. The Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, Mark, can you leave her with me? If you don't, you'll be taken out of ministry because you'll start doubting everything. Regardless of where her eternal condition is, will you trust her to me? Let me be the God of your I don't understand. I said, I can do that. I don't understand. You're the God of I don't understand. You know all things. You know all the choices that people are going to make in life. And Lord God, I know they have free will. And therefore, Lord God, wherever she is, I hope, Lord God, I pray that she's with you. But Lord God,
I commit her to you. From that day, that moment the Lord spoke, I was completely released. You see, if we don't come to a place eventually of having to face that and deal with it, it'll take you out. Because you're in unbelief then toward God. And that unbelief continues to work in you, and you start gravitating further and further away from Him until you say, I'm done. Don't let that happen, folks. Realize that He's God, and He's your Father. I mean, the wrecked families right now, 13, 14 people lost in those mudslides in California. There's 14 families in complete havoc, turmoil, upside down right now. Father God, we just thank You right now. You're the God of tragedy. In other words, you're there, Lord God. There are choices and decisions that we all make, Lord God. Even where we live, even where we choose to live, there are safer places to live than other places, Lord God. And You allow us to make those choices. But also, Lord God, there's warnings that we get, especially Your children, Lord God. Comes through the news. Rains are coming. Mudslides are coming. You need to evacuate the area. But some people don't listen, Lord God. Some people stay. My prayer is, if there's any in the mud right now, that they be found like the teenage girl that was found, Lord God. My prayer is, Lord God, that those who did go, that last conscious thought was, Jesus, forgive me, receive me. Father, because there are people, especially in the United States, they have heard the gospel, and many have not believed. But I know, Lord God, all it takes is a second for a person to repent and believe. I don't know where they're at, but You know where they're at. Father, I pray that we be a people more this year of having an understanding of this final faith that we possess. But let it be a living faith, a vibrant faith, an exciting faith, Lord God, a catching faith. Let our lives demonstrate the truth wherever we affirm, Lord God. I thank You, Father, that let our lives challenge other people's lives, Lord God. Help us to engage those around us so they can have a faith in You and a living faith and a final faith also, Lord. Let our lives help the others when they struggle, Lord God, in their walk with You so we can help shore up their faith. Help us, Lord God, for the one who is on the cusp, Lord God, of saying, forget all this. To come alongside with a revelation by the Holy Spirit, something that they need to hear, Lord God, that gets them turned around, Lord God, and embracing You instead of walking away from You. Help us when difficult situations happen, Lord God, when someone doesn't understand why this tragedy has happened, let us just be there as Your representative of life and of peace and of love. And sometimes not even speaking a word, just being a living presence of Yourself. Show us, Lord God, because there are people that come into our lives that need to know You, not always by what we say, but by carrying Your presence, Lord. We are carriers of Your presence. We are carriers of life. We are carriers of Your light. And Father, I just thank You that this world is more just about our own individual lives, but the communities and the workplaces and the neighborhoods and the people that we come in contact with, Lord, let us become more aware of those around us and their need, Lord God, because there's a faith that we have that wants to get inside them. There's a life that we have that wants, Lord God, Your life, You Yourself, wanting to engage them so they can know You. In Jesus' name, amen.